Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, donkeys? Happy Monday. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 in the DMV. You can check us out on 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. And we're streaming live on the Odyssey app. You can take us on the go with that Odyssey app wherever you may be all across the country. You can also watch us in D.C. on the Monumental Sports Network. We're brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf, official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. We thank you for tuning in this Monday morning, April 15th, 2024. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle.
Good morning.
Johnny Kicksawville's here.
Hello, all.
And Jason Bishop.
Yes, sir. What's up? What's up?
Just coming off a nice, relaxing, good weekend.
Yeah.
Back into the grind.
Yep, another Monday.
We'll talk Masters today. We will talk Capitals playoff push. And the NFL draft is now less than 2 weeks away.
10 days.
Thankfully.
Be the longest 10 days of our
life. I mean, we'll talk a lot more, obviously, Drake May and Jaden Daniels and J.J. McCarthy for the next 10 days. But then after that, we're going to know who the quarterback is. We're not going to have to debate who's the personal favorite, who's better, who played against better competition, whose film was better. Let's just get to April 25th.
I've seen so much analysis.
Let's make this selection, Adam Peters and company. It's coming.
It's coming. You're right. It'll be here 10 days. We'll know who the quarterback of the future is.
I did see some tweets this weekend of people interpreting what Dan Quinn said on the John Keim podcast.
Mm-hmm.
What did he say?
And the interpretation was leaning towards Jaden Daniels, which seems to be the conventional wisdom at this point. But there are still some that believe they're going to draft Drake May. We just don't know what's going on inside Adam Peters' head.
What did Quinn say that led people to believe that?
I didn't listen to the John Keim podcast. Okay. So I just saw tweets.
Jaden Daniels' deep ball percentage was better than Drake May's, so potential for bigger plays for the offense.
But then I saw somebody combat that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was our pal Zachary Kruger.
Okay.
Like, when you actually look at the stats, Drake May's deep ball percentage is up there. And in fact, over the course of his career, is better than Jaden Daniels.
Just what would behoove Quinn or any of these guys to show us their cards? That's
nothing.
What you always have to go back and think. Mm-hmm. Why would they tell us? You know, they want it. They still want to have leverage, right? My understanding is that they're still, you know, they brought in J.J. McCarthy, right? Or they plan to.
Yes, I think this is the week of interviews.
they're going to keep all their options open, and I think they want people to think they're going to take whoever. I have no idea who they're going to take.
Right.
But
you're pretty confident it's going to be one of two guys.
I think so.
That's what
but
I
think if I had to bet, I'm going to still go with my initial instinct and in that it's not going to be Daniels, but we'll see.
We'll see, right?
It's going to be Drake May?
I just don't think it's going to be Daniels. But if it is Daniels, he's super exciting. So he's actually the most exciting prospect. So it'll be interesting.
I know Adam Schefter seems to think it's Jaden Daniels.
I know.
That dude's generally pretty plugged in.
I know. I saw him on that little podcast, some local podcast with guys, and he was like, yeah, go ahead and buy your Jaden Daniels t-shirts. I think it's safe.
Chris Cooley was on Sheehan's show and said he's a walking freaking highlight reel. Why wouldn't that be your pick?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently he said that. I guess that was last week.
I mean, it's true. Yeah, that's true.
I know.
Can't argue it.
Whoever it is, like I've said 427 times, you just got to make the kid better. Make him good. Protect him. Give him weapons. Put him in a good system. Win games.
Right.
Well, I'm not willing to make a jersey financial commitment to you, Jason, but if Drake May is the pick, I will buy you a Washington Commanders jersey with the terrible W logo on the front and Drake May and his number on the back.
Do I have to wear it?
No, you don't have to wear it. You can do whatever you want with it. Oh. I mean, you could wash your car with it as far as I'm concerned, but I will buy that for you. I will commit to that.
Okay, because I missed you on the Altcast on Saturday. I wanted to ask you. So I did the Monumental Sports Altcast on Friday.
For the Wiz?
For the Wizards.
Yeah. Yep.
And
67 losses.
I was surprised. I thought it was going to be on Zoom. Mm-hmm. And then about 15 minutes before, they said, we're going to do it on FaceTime.
Right.
And I do have in the house something to hold my phone.
Yeah.
But I wasn't able to pull it. So I did the whole thing holding my phone.
I saw part of your bit where you're going around Dylan's room and showing the Russell Westbrook poster.
On Friday night, we had people over. Yeah. So especially because there was 2 7-year-old girls who were loud.
Right.
I planned to do it in the basement, but I just couldn't. We have a playroom down in the basement. I couldn't command the basement really. So I just went up into my son's room and just moved everybody else downstairs, and my arm got tired. I know it was like shaky or whatever, and I was curious how yours went.
I did it on Zoom because Tim offered me the Zoom option, and I saw your debacle where you're running around with the camera. It looked like Blair Witch Project, and I said I just like doing it like we do the DC News Now bits, like where we do it on our computer.
Right.
Just easier. It's a more controlled environment. So that's what I did. I did it via Zoom.
This is for the Altcast?
Yeah, I did the Caps Altcast during the Lightning game.
They said to me, I could look up the exact phrase, but it seemed like they didn't really want me to do Zoom.
Right.
They're like, if you need to do Zoom, you can text us and we can send a Zoom link.
Well,
but here's the FaceTime link.
This boomer did the Zoomer, and it went off. Fine. It was perfect.
Yeah, they seemed to like it. But here was my question for you. Mm-hmm. This was simply on a tweet.
Yeah.
So apparently, I did it with JP Finley.
Right.
So easy peasy. He knows me. I know him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Grievous Vasquez was there.
Yeah.
And Jason Smith. It worked out fine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that you did it with Grant Paulson.
I did not. Sean Stepner was the host.
Okay. I don't think you know Sean Stepner.
Didn't have much of a file on him before, but I did learn he hails from Bowie, MD.
Nice.
Like, three quarters of the Junks.
Well, I think you did it also with Bruce Boudreaux.
That is correct.
And somebody tweeted that Boudreaux asked you twice who you were.
No, didn't ask me. Basically just made a statement that I don't know who you are. Twice, at least twice, maybe 3 times.
Is that the ultimate insult?
Look,
did you wear your ring? Is that the deal?
Should Bruce Boudreaux know who Johnny Flakes Allville is?
No.
Of course not. Of course he should.
You're taking a magnanimous view of it.
Yeah,
but that's
it's kind of a shot.
It's a little bit disrespectful.
But to just present it and throw it out there, not once, at least twice, possibly 3 times.
We got to get the audio.
Are you listening to what's happening here? This is a debacle. So Boudreaux insulted you.
What was the spirit of it?
Was it in fun?
It was in fun.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Like, I don't even know who you are.
Gabby's just a fun. He's a fun dude.
Well, he's just telling the truth.
Yeah, and he shouldn't know.
Did
who
we
I
ever
am.
Have Boudreaux on when he was the coach?
Maybe once.
We made fun of him in when studio. He had the barbecue sauce on his. Yeah.
No. He came in studio one time, I think, to promote Best Buddies.
Okay.
And we did the interview like.
That was Barry Trotz. You're definitely getting
that. Trotz.
That was Boudreaux.
I'm certain we've had Boudreaux on.
Maybe.
I'm certain we have.
But not on the regular.
No, not on the regular. And maybe as a one-off once. Like, and he was the coach. Like.
We definitely
want to say in like late 2000s into like 2010.
Oh yeah,
so it's been a while. So I'm cool with him not knowing who I am. I do.
But what was the context?
You're not cool with him constantly putting that in there. I need context.
You were on in the first period, right?
Yes. I was on
so this
early.
Is
like,
the
who is this guy? Was he? Why is Eve talking?
Basically,
dude. Dude, Valdez, we don't have the audio.
He just didn't know who I was. He doesn't
That's
know.
Unbelievable.
He doesn't know the Junks.
It was the host who you mentioned.
Correct.
Boudreaux, and who was the third person?
Tarik El-Bashir.
And Tarik El-Bashir, who knows you, comes on the show all the time.
Did anybody come up to your defense?
Not
really. Tarik.
Not really.
But you get introduced, at least from my experience. Yes. Again, I wasn't able to see your appearance on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And I meant to watch it, but the game was earlier.
Game was at 5:30.
Game was earlier. Yeah. I had a soccer game, whatever. When I got introduced, they called me, said, okay, you're going to go on in like 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. FaceTime.
Yeah.
Okay. I scrambled, set up, you know, in Dylan's room.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come back from commercial break and they introduce you. They say, host of the Sports Junkies on blah, 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 blah.
Intro'd?
They're the quickest segments ever, too, by the way.
Were you intro'd? Were you intro'd?
Sean definitely intro'd me, like, when he set up the, the like alt cast at the beginning.
Cakes from the Sports Junkies, 106.7 The Fan. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if
so, Boudreaux should know you right there on the intro.
Right. But I think he was doing more of the spirit of, I don't even know this guy. But he wasn't,
so was
like,
that because
he wasn't like a jerk about it.
Was it because he was arguing with you? Like, he didn't like your point?
I don't even think it was that.
Were you thrown?
He was eating out of the palm of my hand toward the end because I brought up the fact that he'd had a small role in Slapshot. And he wouldn't stop talking about it.
He
just wanted to keep talking about it.
So you won him over.
Of course I won him over because I'm charming and I have charisma. As the kids like to say in 2024, I've got the riz.
I got the riz.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
It was a little awkward.
I saw the tweet and you never know with Twitter if like it's just the listeners just poking fun, making it up. But said that Boudreaux said twice he didn't know who Cakes was.
I'm dying for anybody that may have seen it to call in.
800-636-1067. Because Cakes isn't giving us a great description.
No.
He intros you. So Scott intros you. This is Cakes. What's the first topic he brings up?
I mean, it was basically talking about the Lightning game. And the playoff push.
So then you made a point, and then Boudreaux comes in and says, who is this guy?
I mean, he might. I can't remember the exact context of how he basically didn't know who he was talking to I was on the show in the first place.
That is hilarious. You know what?
He's always had like kind of a biting like sense of humor.
Yeah,
so I'm not.
That's the
I wasn't
way
offended
is.
By it. I just found it kind of funny.
Is it possible that he remembers that we goofed on him relentlessly for the barbecue sauce?
No way.
No chance.
And I think he would think that was funny. He's the type of guy that I don't think takes himself too seriously. Mm-hmm. I think he would laugh at that. That we're goofing on him because
there's no way he remembered
barbecue
that.
Sauce smeared all over
How long
his shirt.
Ago was that? Was that 20 years ago?
It was like 12 to 15 years ago, I would guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't even think
All
about
right.
how
well,
long,
I'm,
long ago
I,
it was.
I need audio. Somehow I'll find it. Someone send it to us. We got to get it. I got to hear that. Jason, I saw this morning, and I was thinking about this yesterday when Scotty won. I Venmo'd Valdez.
Oh,
I did.
You take cash, Valdez, or just digital currency?
I love cash.
He probably likes cash better.
It was the greatest gift of all time.
I omnibbed him as well.
It was the greatest gift of all time when Anna picked Rory.
That was a gift.
Yeah, what a hook job.
But
I told her I didn't like the picks, but I didn't like my picks either, I guess.
Jason, I know you don't pay attention, but Portnoy bet $1 million on Michigan to win the Rose Bowl, right? Mm-hmm. Won that. He won $500,000 on Texas Washington. I don't even know who won that game. Who won that game in the Sugar Bowl? Texas versus Washington.
Washington won.
Right? So he won $500,000 on that. He won $500,000 on the Chiefs. He's been taking the faves. Won $500,000 on the Chiefs in a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. He won $2.1 million on the UConn Huskies. That's for the ladies, right? For the that's the men.
Men's
for the national champion, Danny Hurley.
You mean against when they in the championship game?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Because he bet him before the tournament started, so he put up like $1 million or whatever. Won $2.1 million, whatever. Right. And then he did the same thing with Scotty Scheffler, and he won $1.3 million. He's on a $5.4 million gambling run.
Man, that's quite a
year. Well, is he documenting his losses? Those are just
He documents the big losses, because he tells everybody.
Yeah.
He puts it all on social media. Yeah, I got $1 million
on
this.
He's just on a heater.
A ridiculous heater.
That's
$5.4 million heater in the last 3 or 4 months.
When did he bet Scheffler? Before the tournament?
Yeah, yeah. These are all basically
before. So he was
before.
4.5 to 1, something like that.
Yes.
It'll come around.
Yeah, he's had big losses.
He'll take some L's.
It'll come around.
It may not come around if he doesn't keep betting that big, but you'll probably keep betting bigger.
Mm. He will.
Yeah, I mean, he's got super deep pockets. I mean, he's a 100-plus millionaire. I don't know how much he's worth.
But my son got a lesson in parlays this weekend, so he asked me. He's big into UFC, and we ordered the pay-per-view, and we had a great time watching it. Mike Maher came in this morning all fired up talking about the fights. But he bets on FanDuel. Well, I have a FanDuel account, and so I let him bet on my FanDuel account, and he was hyping up his parlays. And I said, listen, we did parlays on our show for 2 years and hit two.
Yep.
When less people were involved because people were on vacation, parlays, like, yeah, but I could win $6,000. That got vanished quick. And then he's like, he had another parlay where he could win $2,000. That one vanished quick. He went 0-for.
No, you just tell him to do two-game and three-game parlays. Don't tell him to do 6 and 10 game parlays.
That's impossible. We tried that. He went on a run.
He did specific round knockout.
Yeah. Two-game and three.
Hard. That's a grasper.
Two- and three-game parlays. That's what you do.
Yeah, he got a lesson in parlays.
If you do anything more than that, you're going to lose.
I saw Dana White, his press conference. I was having trouble sleeping last night, and I just was trying to get something to distract me. And he was raving about the card. Like he said...
Yeah, it turned out to be great. I mean, there were definitely some great knockouts, especially the BMF title, the baddest MF-er title, which was Holloway versus Gaethje, which ended with 1 second left.
Yeah, what?
Which is a classic flurry by Max Holloway.
Are those guys light guys? Are they little guys? Or?
They're like 155. I mean, they weigh in at 155. I saw the headliner, Pereira, weighed in at 205, and the next day weighed 232. Mm-hmm. Think about that.
He won by knockout, didn't he?
Yes.
My buddy told me to play him plus 145 by knockout. That was what I was asking the guy on Friday, whatever the guy's name was, Aaron.
Right.
And he said it was a good bet, and I just completely spaced it. I didn't bet it.
No, it was plus 145. It was a really good card. They, had, I guess,
Valdez. What was the buyout offer you offered on Friday for Chef?
I can't remember.
$10.
Yeah, I was gonna $10.
Why didn't I do it? $10.
Because you didn't know for sure, but I mean, in hindsight, it sure seems silly.
Of course.
When he's around the lead, he's just, and even he wasn't even playing that great for him.
Played great yesterday.
He's just the best player.
I mean,
right
he
now.
Had that rough stretch on Saturday, but man, he was so good yesterday. His iron play was just sick.
I'm surprised he's only won two.
I know. We talked about that on Friday.
He's come in second in a couple of the other ones, but
he's going to go on a run. He's going to win some more.
Yeah, I mean, he's only 27.
It was only his 18th major ever played.
Yeah.
He won back-to-back players, back-to-back masters. I think he's got to be a favorite in all, you know, at this point.
Just think of how many more he'd have if he switched that dumb mallet before, a year or two ago.
In his last 30 tournaments, his results are stupid.
You want to hear a stat? He hasn't shot over par this year in any event. Any round has not shot over par. He hasn't finished outside of the top 20 in any event since October of 2022. Mm-hmm. Think about that.
He's
October 2022 hasn't finished outside of the top 20.
Does he look older than 27 to you?
Maybe.
I know he's younger, but yes, he does look older, but I know he's younger.
Yeah. I mean, I know he's 27, but had I not known his age, I would have thought he is at least.
He's
like
also very mature and wise beyond his years.
But maybe it's just a beard or something about him.
Yeah, maybe
older.
It is.
This is the way he holds himself. He's just mature guy.
He didn't have the beard when he won 2 years ago, and he was 25. So he still looked a little older.
He's probably an old soul like Valdez.
He's an old soul.
Yeah,
for sure. But he's a great guy. Like it's impossible
not to like him. Yeah.
Like I don't know how.
I mean, he doesn't give
like
you
him.
Much on the course, but you can tell he's a good dude.
He's just a machine.
He got fired up after, obviously, but it was crazy.
Well, we will talk more Masters and more golf with Jason Sobel. He'll join us coming up at 8:00. Jason Sobel, host for the Golf Channel on PGA Tour Radio on Sirius XM. He'll join us at 8:00. As I mentioned, we'll get more into the NFL draft and the Caps playoff push. Two games left in the regular season, and then hopefully the playoffs. If you want to chime in throughout the show, you can always call us at 800-636-1067 on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. Same number for the Thompson Creek Windows text machine. Standard message and data charges may apply. You can always tweet us at Junks Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Right back. Welcome back. Chunky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 in the DMV. Time now to open up the Junkie Sports page. Brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy Drink. Don't Sleep has all your energy and performance needs covered. Get some now at don'tsleepenergy.com. Use the promo code Junkies. And remember, Don't Sleep makes you great.
Scotty Scheffy wins another one. Second green jacket in 3 years. 27 years old. He wins $3.6 million. Valdez wins the pool because Anna Banana chose Rory as the top overall pick.
Colossal blunder.
That was a big
thirsty
blunder.
Anna.
Yeah.
She'll learn. She'll learn from
that
this.
That was a big blunder.
She got enough wins under her belt, though, that she could kind of afford
she
it.
She is the richest woman in Annapolis. I've done my research by looking at her home.
Yeah.
So I think she'll be nice okay. Home. She'll be all right.
How'd Rory fare?
I think he finished four over, maybe. I'd have to pull up the overall.
Hey, I was telling Drab before the show, this tournament, and specifically being paired with Scheffler, really exposed Rory for kind of the mid-golfer that he is.
He is a mid-golfer now. he's like an average golfer.
And if you go back and you have revisionist history on all of his major wins, all of them come on soft, rain-soaked courses.
Mm. Poking like, holes in Rory's
like
greatness.
He's a bomb and gouge player that really doesn't have any kind of finesse with his irons.
But I feel like his iron play was better back then. His iron play literally from 150 yards in is bad.
I don't think his driver was that great this week either.
But that's
think.
The strength of his game.
For sure.
Valdez, that's the way I agree with you. I just feel like his mid-iron play and short iron play when he was winning majors was much better than it is now.
Colt Knows talked about it. I was driving, listening to some, I can't remember when, it was all over the place. And he's like, yeah, for a guy who's from Ireland, he's not very good in the wind.
No, he's an awful wind player. Awful.
Yeah.
He hits the ball way too high and way too spinny.
There was one shot, it was 130 yards, call it. You know, he was hitting, I don't know if he was hitting gap or wedge, but he just pulled it left. I mean, what
that's
even
his miss is pulls all left. Of his wedges.
I mean, it wasn't even close. And he was, you know, he's off the green, has to try and chip up to get up and down, and he was just bad.
I don't think he'll ever win a Masters.
I think the pressure's too great.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the pressure. It's just I didn't realize how bad his game was.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's been really bad this year.
And you know, Sunday Morikawa was tied with Scheffler. What happened
maybe
to him?
For a moment.
Well, there was a bunch of guys tied at
he
one
doubled
point.
On, I can't remember what
he
hole
hit one
it was.
In 11,
doubled
11.
Yeah.
11 pulled
I
it.
Saw DeChambeau on one hole. It looked like he had a rules official come over. I didn't see the shot that preceded it. And he had maybe a 50-yard chip, and he chipped into the water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was on Saturday. Yeah,
his short game kind of let him down.
Saturday.
He chumped it on Saturday, yeah.
I just want the record to show that Drab's in the golf pool. Drab, the guys that he picked, both missed the cut.
Oh, he did. Yeah.
Who do you have?
Come on, why do you got to rub in Drab's face?
Hovland and Spieth.
You can't be a graceful
doesn't
winner.
Matter. I actually had the greatest call of the weekend, more than anybody. I told Valdez on Thursday morning, Tiger Woods, I said, you owe me money. If Tiger Woods makes the cut and finishes
last,
dead last of the guys who make the cut.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened. He does that every tournament.
It's not DFL, though, Cakes, because he beat everybody who didn't make the cut.
Of the guys who made the cut.
Yeah.
He'll either finish dead last or withdraw.
Right.
Every tournament.
He just wants to make the cut at this point.
Right.
Like, that's kind of his goal.
I was glad he just finished, because they were talking like he, you know, Nost was acting like he may withdraw on that front nine on Saturday. I didn't think he would, because he just had a couple bad holes. You know,
the Friday round caught up to him, because he played 25 holes on Friday.
Maybe it did.
His body just doesn't let him go 4 days.
He should maybe join
I just
Liv
think he's
for
not,
that. He don't have to play
he doesn't
3 days.
Practice
or, the champion,
enough.
Or the Champions Tour. Champions Tour only plays three rounds.
I think he's just not that good. Like, he has all the shots, but he's just not. He doesn't practice enough. And, you know, he can luck box a round or two.
Well, he doesn't practice enough because his body won't let him practice.
That's what they say. But he, you know, he's hitting 350-yard drives. I mean, I don't know.
Can't string it together.
Well, I know, but
I know he can't.
It's over for Tiger.
I know he can't, but I think it's because of he doesn't practice enough. And I know you're right. The body
I'm just
is
saying
a
his
part
body.
Of it.
That's what I'm
the
saying.
The body
to
is
you.
Part of it, but I still
he may
think,
not like playing anymore.
I still think he doesn't practice enough.
Well, he certainly doesn't.
How do we know how much he practices?
He probably
it's
doesn't.
Reported.
His body is his body
look at
hurts.
His results.
Yeah, no, but
he's had an infusion.
His short game was better than I thought.
He's had back surgeries, knee surgery. He almost lost his leg. I mean, he's had 15 surgeries.
He was tilting me, leaving every single putt short all for 4 days. Yeah.
It was tilting me. And that has nothing to do with
that's practice. That's
being,
probably practice.
You know, sore,
right?
It's just he doesn't practice enough.
Yeah, yeah, but
he's plenty healthy enough, in my opinion. You got no one cares. I know the narrative is he's too hurt to do it. He's plenty healthy enough to play way better. He doesn't grind enough.
You know, you want to know
maybe better, but he's not healthy enough to compete and win tournaments.
I think,
and
he could do it one time.
He's only
going to
play tournaments once a month, if that.
He's scouting all the major locations.
Yeah, he plays the majors, maybe we'll see him in Valhalla.
But he's going to do the same thing at the U.S. Open. He probably won't make the cut at the U.S. Open, but or PJ.
To.
I'm sorry, PJ is next in Valhalla, and even if he does make the cut, he's not going to play well on the weekend.
The only bright spot was that I did think his short game, at least for the first 2 days, was better than I expected. It started to fall apart.
His chipping was really good.
His putting was good the first couple of days, and then the putter fell apart.
Yeah, but his iron play wasn't very good. He was missing greens left and right on the weekend,
right? And that's practice.
But anyway, so Scheffy wins it.
Are we on Grand Slam watch? We might be on Grand Slam watch.
I mean, he's going to win a couple. He's going to win another one for sure.
I'm almost positive right now he's going to win Pinehurst. He's definitely going to win Pinehurst.
Well, I mean, I can't bet against him.
It's just he doesn't really have a rival right now.
So listen to this. This is crazy, all right? And I don't want to compare Scotty to Scheffler to Tiger because we'll never see another Tiger. Right. But he's playing, he's as dominant a player now since Tiger was dominating the tour. Right. All right. So I just want to give you his
Didn't
overall
Kepka
results.
Dominate for a little
in the, he did. Period. He did in the majors. But Kepka, the difference between Kepka and Scheff is Kepka didn't care about the non-major events.
Right.
All right. So this year. All right. So Scheffler in his first tournament was the century. He's finished 5, 17, 6, 3, 10. 1-1-2-1.
Mm-hmm.
That's this year. Okay. Last year, 23. All right. His first tournament was the wraparound. He finished 45. 3-9-2-7-11-1-12-4-1-10-11-5-2-3-3-3-4-3-2-6-1.
This is also without being able to putt.
I know.
Because last year his putting was a debacle. He was losing 4 strokes to the field on average.
He probably would have had another 3 or 4 wins last year if he could putt last year.
The only thing I'll say is like what you said, we'll never see another Tiger. Because Tiger had a stretch where he was winning 50% of his tournaments.
Well, I'm not going to compare anybody to Tiger.
Yeah.
But he is posting Tiger-esque numbers besides the majors.
If you look at the data between Scotty the last 2 years and I guess Tiger's 2-year run of dominant, like Grand Slam dominance, Scotty has a better ball striking statistic than Tiger did in that run.
Yeah.
Now there's other stats that are letting him down, but ball striking was better than Tiger Woods.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing when just to watch him hit drives, how consistent he was hitting drives, and then his iron play from 170 in it's just dumb.
And he does it with his feet moving all over the place.
His right foot's bailing out.
Very unconventional.
What's even more amazing is he's that good and he can't bring one extra eyeball to the sport.
He's not a Tiger.
He's so boring.
Yeah, his personality stinks.
It's almost unwatchable if you're a casual golf fan.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He's literally the worst personality I've ever seen from a golf. He's what I think of golfers before Tiger Woods.
He's just on the golf course. Yeah, he's boring, no doubt.
And the leaderboard at the Masters, the guys that were chasing him, I'm sorry, for the casual golf fan, uninspired.
Well, I think Swedish DeChambeau was up there. Max Homa.
But you're not going to be a
fan. Kala Morikawa.
I mean,
snooze fest.
You're, other than Tiger, you're not going to be a fan anyways.
Morikawa's won two majors, though.
Yeah, but he's boring.
He's kind of boring.
But if DeChambeau could have stayed up, it would have been interesting.
He would have been a guy
I knew it was too big an ass.
I think Homa has the best personality out of everyone there.
I bet you Homa's a cool dude.
Everyone likes him.
I bet he's
cool. No, he's like universally.
I would love to hang out with Homa.
He's a social media guy, too, though, Jason.
He is, yeah.
He's big on social media.
But out of these guys, I mean, none of them have fiery personalities. I don't know what you're looking for.
You're right about that.
I mean, what are you looking for, though? I don't watch golf for personalities. I watch it for the golf.
You're just looking for the shot making.
You watch it for the personality.
Hey, he's just a robot.
Yeah, he's a robot.
Yeah, he is.
It's just tough to get excited for him.
He's just even keel. It was he's like almost get too high, too low.
I should fist pump here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, he does.
Brain
he did
initiate on, fist pump.
Yeah.
He did
beep
on
boop,
some.
Beep boop beep.
He did on some when he eagled 13 on Saturday. He did.
But that's the first time he showed any emotion.
He doesn't show emotion. Yeah. I mean,
hey, do you know what? You know what else tilted me about the coverage? And I noticed this is, and Jim is a Hall of Fame broadcaster, but he's got to stop saying like his time will come, because it's impossible. Like, Max Homa can't win a green jacket with Morikawa winning a green jacket, with Xander winning a green jacket, all in the runway of their career.
Right.
I know he's trying to be nice and everything.
Oh, he's just standing up for all those guys?
He's trying to hype him up.
Yeah, he's trying to hype him up. But you can't say that for every single dude that their
right.
time will come.
The majority of those guys will never win a Masters.
Right.
Yeah, you're right.
Sorry, just something that irked me.
That's what he does say. How about Vern Lundquist in his last call? Getting a little choked up a couple different times.
I mean, did you see Tiger shake hands with him behind the tree?
Yeah. I did see
nice.
That.
That was a nice gesture from Tiger as he's having a dreadful weekend. That was nice.
Yeah.
I thought Tiger handled himself pretty well considering the game was a mess.
So Scheffler now has won $58 million on the golf course, which is sixth most. Tiger, Phil, Rory. I don't know who else is in there that I'm missing, but Scheffler's got 27 years old. Mm-hmm.
So he won $3.6 million for winning the Masters. Isn't the standard live purse winner $4 million?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I mean, that's a joke.
Yes. But, I mean, you obviously the endorsement potential and all that stuff is off
sure,
the charts
I,
for the
I
Masters.
Understand.
You're set for life.
Of course.
Even in the Masters, you're set for
yeah,
life.
Yeah, he's won two green jackets at 27.
I would have liked to seen.
You're also a Hall of Famer. You get two majors, you go to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I would have liked to seen what he would have done if the baby did pop out.
Yeah.
I know. I was thinking about that
would
all weekend.
Be the biggest idiot ever. They probably had her on bed rest so that it wouldn't happen. You know what I mean? Like, just don't move.
Well, they also were questioning whether or not she would actually contact him.
Right. If she was smart, she wouldn't.
Yeah. They were saying.
Like, he comes home and there's a baby.
Yeah. If she
he's leading,
if she
and
was
can
a
win
loving,
the Masters,
caring wife.
She probably didn't even.
She wouldn't tell him.
Yeah, she wouldn't
because
even
text she would
him.
Know how important this is, and that just watching the baby squirt out, it's okay. It's the greatest thing ever, but it's okay. You're not missing that much. You got 100 years with that kid.
So only eight guys finished under par for the week. I couldn't believe some of the scores on Saturday because Thursday, Friday were so windy. I talked to Denny Friday night just to see how he felt about making a cut. He goes, "Yeah, I'm in." And I said, how brutal was the win? He says, the most brutal conditions he's ever played in.
Well,
plus the course. He said the course was so hard.
I've never seen Augusta like that.
2007.
2007 was bad, yeah.
I don't remember it. I take your word for it. I just have never seen that much, like, the sand blowing out of the bunkers all over the place. I mean, it looked insane.
But Denny shot 2-under yesterday. It wasn't windy yesterday.
Who did he play with? His group that went very low. Did he play with Tom Kim? Who did he play with?
I think he played with Tom Kim.
Yeah, those guys went like 8-under or something. Like, I think Kim was balling at one point.
Kim shot 66 yesterday.
You know what's weird? You know what's weird is after the Masters, because of the schedule, now they have a signature event in Hilton Head.
Correct, RBC.
So usually a lot of people would take off the week after the Masters.
Yeah, these guys got to all play.
Signature event.
Another big week.
Is Scheffler playing in it? Because he said he had to play in a week. Or is he just going to skip it?
I kind of probably depends on...
The baby?
I think you can miss one.
Uh-huh.
Yes, you're allowed to miss one before you get, like, penalized.
Get fined.
His wife's going to have a baby. For that, I don't mind you missing.
So maybe he misses this week.
You just can't miss the Masters.
So
you
anyway,
can miss some dumb RBC. You just can't miss the Masters.
So Denny shoots. He was 9-over for the tournament. 57K he brings home. But props to Ludwig Oberg, who is 23 years old, his first Masters finishes.
He handled himself really well.
Solo 2. 2.1 million. So
I also got a kick out of the U.S. amateur runner-up Shipley, who was playing with Tiger. His game is awesome.
Did you see the green jacket presentation?
Yes.
In the Butler?
Yes.
How awkward he looked?
I mean, he's a big goof.
He was looking like this. Yeah. I don't know what he was looking at.
A lot of memes of him.
Nance is talking. Fred Ridley and Nance is talking to him, and he's going like this.
He's probably looking at the monitor. Yeah,
clearly. But he looked very uncomfortable. But yeah, it was cool to see him play.
And Tiger definitely gave him a note or whatever that was, and then the reporter asked him about it, and Shipley played it off. It was bizarre.
Uncomfortable.
Oh, really?
You didn't hear that audio?
No.
He said he didn't receive a note. But everybody saw him receive a note.
Definitely. So what do you think the note was?
I don't know, but he's a made man with Tiger now.
It's his boy.
All right, got to take a break. We'll come back with more here on the Junkies. All right, you didn't get to it in the Junkies sports page, but we'll talk Caps playoff push. But I put something up on our Junkies Facebook page about the Wizards season. Mm-hmm. Came to a close. They won 15 games. Mm-hmm. What was your over bet?
23.5, I think.
23.5. Yeah. I mean, nobody expected them to lose this
close.
Many games. They were 15-67. Mm-hmm. But if we rewind and go back to last year, I would say 80-90% of the fan base was on board with this, which was the teardown. Traded away Bradley Beal, and everybody knew this was going to be a tough season.
Raising hand, officially on board.
I don't know that people expected it to be this bad. So I put something on.
I definitely did not.
Facebook. We knew they were going to circle, but nobody expected it. Are you still on board with the plan? And it seems like people still are.
Yeah, but they're not paying attention. I mean, it's fine. Like, we'll just wait it out.
Hopefully,
we'll still be alive.
You're not going to live and die with every loss because the losses are piling up. There are so many of them. But people were just sick of being on the hamster wheel of winning 35, 38, maybe 42 games per season for 30 years. And people were over that.
Well, and also, I mean, we focus on the draft because they have a shot at having the number one overall pick.
Right.
Or the number two pick. I think they got a 14% chance of getting it.
Correct.
But they've got a higher coach.
Yeah. That's something.
Are they
going to
go after kind of a bigger name? Or are they going to go after just a top assistant from one of the good teams?
I would just get a bum.
They could stick with this guy.
Maybe. I don't know.
Stick with this no-name guy.
I don't know why they would, but
stick with him.
Dude, a lot of the coaches, if I told you the coaches of a lot of the teams, you'd be like, who the hell are they?
Correct.
I agree.
Coach of the Timberwolves. What's his name? Finch?
I think it is Finch. Chris Finch? I'm grasping. I don't know.
But usually the interim doesn't get the job the next year. But
usually they don't, but this team is going nowhere. So
you're right.
It's just hard to I'm always anti-tank, but I was willing to accept it. I just didn't think it was going to take this long.
People still seem to be on board. Now, they're the wise asses who answered my question with, there's a plan?
Right.
Is there a plan?
Mm-hmm.
But the model and some of the guys they brought over here to run the front office is Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma City just earned the number one seed.
Correct.
And that's without a lot of their future draft choices.
Mm-hmm.
So now Oklahoma City had stars that they were able to trade to acquire a lot of these draft choices. They traded away Paul George. They traded away Russell Westbrook. And the Wizards started with Bradley Beal. You know, maybe they'll be able to get something for Kuzma next year. This year, it irks cakes. They were going to trade him away, and he said he didn't want to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted to stay with a 15-67 team.
I mean, I don't think it's a great idea if you have a piece that other people are willing to give you assets for, and the trade is consummated, and you're going to go to Kuzma and have him approve or disapprove.
Mm.
That's the whole reason you have player control and don't give guys like no trade clauses.
It was weird, but
I didn't understand it.
Maybe
either.
They thought that their haul wasn't going to be that good.
They ultimately dealt Gafford for a first round pick, but I'm guessing
that's going to be a late first
round. Kuzma would have fetched more. He would have had more in return.
I would hope. I would think.
I wouldn't think he'd get that much more.
Maybe not. I mean, it's hard to get much more than a first round pick. I mean, maybe get a.
But I think if
team.
You look at Oklahoma City and what they've been able to do despite getting rid of all of their stars. Maybe you have some hope, and you gotta hit that lottery pick, and you gotta do, and it's gonna take some time because, like, as great as Victor Wembanyama is,
mm-hmm.
the Spurs were awful this
year. The Thunder, they had two seasons where they won 22 and 24 games. Then they improved to 40, and this year, 57.
Yeah.
So if that's what the Wizards' future is going to look like, please sign me up. I'll take another lean year next year if that leads
well,
to...
you're
going
to get
take,
it.
Yeah, you're going
you're
to get it.
I know. I'm well
you're
aware. You're
going to get it.
And I'm
Alexander
okay
Sarr is not going to turn this team
I'm
into
okay
a playoff
with
team.
With another lean year or two if 57 wins or 55 wins is on the other side of it.
Mm-hmm.
Totally cool with it.
Hmm. You know, I was thinking... We always talk about the demise. We always talk about the demise of all the teams here locally,
mm-hmm,
right? The big four,
right?
Caps being the best because they've got a shot at going to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But the Nats had the number two pick last year that took Dylan Cruz,
right?
Commanders number two pick. Who knows where they're going to take?
Yep. And you're hoping it's Drake
May. And there's a chance the Wizards have the number two pick.
There's also a chance.
Has that ever happened where in the same year, three of the four teams had the same pick?
I just ran two sims on Tankathon. Two lottery sims, and the first two had the Wizards picking fifth and then fourth. So it's no, there's no,
no guarantee, it's no
guarantee they're going to pick in the top
no,
three.
No, I know that.
They could pick as low as six.
What's their percentage to pick two? 14% to win the number one overall. What's this percentage? Is it in the 20s?
I don't know about two, but to pick in the top four, they're 52.1%.
Here's the question I do have as Cakes is looking this up. When are you not okay with it, Cakes? Because I know your team tank.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be honest. I never liked it. You know, I'm anti-tank. I think it's stupid. But, you know, we have just been so bad that I was for it. But it's just, I mean, there's no end in sight. I'll tell you when. This is the worst draft year in recent years, too.
That's what they say.
If there's three seasons of pain and then there's no progress.
All right. Well, we're into season four.
In,
we're into season two now.
Yeah.
So next year, there's not going to be any progress.
Right. Year three, probably little.
Next year is year three.
No, next year's year two.
That we're counting this as the first year?
This is year one.
We didn't tank last year?
This is year one, Ricky. You're trying to get ahead of schedule.
Well, last year they had...
They were so bad last year.
They had Beal, but Beal was hurt, and then they had Porzingis.
This is year... Don't accelerate the tank. This is year one. This is not year two.
Oh, it's interminable.
The year that
year one.
I can't handle it.
The year that Beal was here, that was just their.
Well, hold on. They started the tank,
again.
Obviously, when they were trading their big name players.
That's when the tank
began. So maybe
began.
A half a tank year.
That's when the tank began.
I will not accept a half tank year. They have one full tank year in the books.
This is the full year of. Remember when. Why am I forgetting his name? Not Winger.
Will Dawkins
came on the show
the guy
and he
ear
said
I talked off in the suite a couple weeks
said,
ago.
He told us when he sat down with us that he gave each of the players three goals.
Yes.
Right. Stuff.
I know I really
that led
liked
to 15
it.
Wins.
Man, it's just classic.
15 and 67.
Trust the process, EB. We're in a process.
I don't trust
you. You don't trust processes?
Not this particular one.
Okay, I'm actually trusting the process.
I'm actually excited. Not excited. Not like JP is excited, but relieved. I'll put it relieved that the regular season NBA is over.
Okay.
Now you can start watching and pay attention to some meaningful games. I know Bickle doesn't care about the play-ins or anything.
By the way, it is a farce. They still make teams do play-ins after a full regular season.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
You don't think 82 games is enough to determine?
I think it's plenty. I think it's probably 10 to 15 games more than enough.
Can you tell the Boban story?
The Boban story is one of the funniest stories I've ever seen. So in the regular season finale, the Rockets are at the Clippers.
This is yesterday?
I think it was yesterday.
Yeah.
So Boban, the big giant, is on the free throw line. And the Clippers, I guess, have a promotion similar to the Wizards, where if an opposing player misses both free throws in the fourth quarter of a game, everybody goes home with like a free Chick-fil-A sandwich coupon.
Right.
So Boban steps to the line, clanks his first free throw,
right,
and then the crowd
starts getting
into a frenzy.
Right.
And then he just looks at the crowd. He starts pointing at him. He's like, I got you.
I got you.
I know what's going on.
And by the way, this is a game where
they're winning the game.
It's close and they're winning.
But they're already eliminated from the playoffs.
Understood.
The game didn't matter.
Understood. But it's close and they're winning.
It's still, they're winning the game. And Boban's like, I got you. I'm going to hook you up with fried chicken. Clanks the second free throw.
Crowd goes nuts.
Crowd goes bananas. Everybody wins free chicken. Boban, folk hero.
Yeah.
Cult hero. Man of the people.
It was a great move by him.
It's a great move.
EB, your theory about Johnny Davis closing strong somewhat true.
Somebody sent me something.
On Friday night, he had 15 points.
I'm telling you.
Well, how many minutes? He probably got a ton of minutes.
He's a leftover.
He got 25 minutes.
He's a leftover from a previous regime. I don't even consider him a part of the plan.
He can't be.
He's not a part of the plan.
He can't be.
How could he be? He was drafted by Tommy Shepard. I like Tommy
Shepard.
That
guy's got Europe written all over him.
He was an early disciple.
In year two, he averaged 3 points and shot 40%
from the field. I have to divorce myself from anybody that's an early disciple. That has the stink of Ernie Grunfeld on them. Sorry, Tommy.
All right, got to take a break. Coming up next, should we be ordering Jaden Daniels jerseys now?
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.